But I want to talk a little bit about, here we are, it's New Year's, we're back. But stop and think about a new year. And just imagine you're a kid playing and suddenly you hear a sound that you've been warned about. And moments later, the earth explodes. And if you're lucky, it's the limbs and lifeblood of one of your friends that are torn asunder and bleeding into the ground. Who did this to you and why? Well, there's a man who was advertised around the world and was seen as a trump card, or was seen as an answer to people's upset about the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. In Barack Obama, that people thought, well, this was something going to be a change and hope that you could believe in. But now, every week, he sits and meets on Tuesdays and draws up a list of who's going to get killed this week by remote control from the U.S. In the first week of this year, he had really quite a week when you think about it. Not only did he continue this drone program and nominate really one of the key architects of this to be head of the CIA, but he also kicked off the week. They had a court decision that was in New York, in district court in New York, that was responding to a suit from the from his administration that upheld this drone killing. And it was so egregious that even the judge who did uphold their claim to actually be able to continue doing this said, this is like Alice in Wonderland. In this week, he signed the FISA bill, which allows surveillance of people without their knowledge. I mean, I could go into, we could spend the evening talking about these things, and that's not my intent or our plan. He also signed the NDAA, which gives him, the executive, the right to incarcerate anyone indefinitely without trial or any legal recourse. I mean, we have to think about this. Is this the world that you want to find your space and place within? And even as these changes sharpen the bloody hand of U.S. repression here and abroad, these changes also reveal deep problems for the imperialists as they shred their own principles to enforce their shaky empire. Hatred of what the U.S. does and resistance simmers and bursts through around the world. There are tremors that are felt. There's other things happening. Football players in the Midwest are bragging about and tweeting a video of a young woman who was entering the prime of her life, drugged, and they called her dead. That was the, if you've read about or seen, they called her dead. Oh, she's still dead. Anybody want to go check and see if she's still dead? They dragged her unconscious from party to party, sexually violated her, and their utter contempt for her humanity was really expressed in where they urinated on her and they called on other guests at these parties to piss on this woman. This is America. Sincera, well, let me just say this. If this was the only rape that happened, it would be heinous enough. But in India, you know, just weeks ago, and continue to this day, there's outrage over three rapes. And again, we could go on for the whole night talking about the rapes. But this woman and her friend were in a bus, and men boarded the bus. They brutalized both of them, and then they repeatedly raped her, including taking a rusty piece of rebar, which is the steel that reinforces concrete, and jammed it up her vagina, pulling out half her intestine. And then she was left on the street, and people walked by her for 45 minutes, and then the police argued about whose jurisdiction it was, and then she died. And in the same time period, another young woman was raped in India, And as is typical, and I will commend to you a book here by Catherine Boo, it's called Behind the Beautiful Forevers, because this is typical. Another woman was gang raped, and the courts in India recommended that the way to deal with this is she needs to marry one of the rapists so as to avoid the dishonor to her fathers and brothers. And then a freedom fighter in India was also raped, and they took her to the hospital and found rocks and stones in her vagina and rectum. But one thing that's different that's happening in India is that a long-suppressed rage, a rage that people didn't even know they had, has begun to burst to the surface, and it's irrepressible. Sansara Taylor has written in a new post on the RevCom site that there is no place on the street or in one's home, in rural third world countryside or in the major cities of the imperial citadels, from Delhi to Congo to Ohio and everywhere else, where women and girls are not in danger of being raped, where women and very young girls are not then blamed and devalued for being raped, where women and girls are not told to get over it when they are raped, when women are not reduced to breeders of children, shamed, coerced, or forced into bearing children against their will, where abortion and even the birth control is not either illegal or seriously under attack, where women and very young girls are not oppressed, beaten, imprisoned, insulted, molested, abused, harassed, exploited, murdered, spat upon, thrown acid at, groped, shamed, or otherwise systematically diminished. But this violence and degradation, all this cruelty and viciousness, is not just the depraved behavior of a handful of men, nor is this just human nature. This is the nature of many men as they are shaped by a system we now live under, a global system of imperialism which has patriarchy, the domination of women by men, women woven into its foundation, its tradition, and its morals, and its culture. This violence is a direct and inevitable growth of a system that feasts off of and requires the subjugated and degraded position of women in both its feudal medieval forms and its so-called modern forms. One of the key things that we should understand about what's going on in India, and this is a country that's increasingly playing a very major role in the world economy, is that only women, weeks ago, women throughout India felt and largely suffered their oppression alone. But today a fury is rising, and imperialist commentators all around the world are worried that this could be an Arab Spring in the midst of this country. As we sit here tonight, 80,000 people in this country are living in a box, in isolation, no furniture, a cement shelf off the wall for a bed and another cement shelf for a desk. They're deprived of all human contact for years on end in what every major study has clearly defined as debilitating torture. This is the other end of the stop and frisk program. It's the mass incarceration pipeline that disproportionately targets black and brown people, and that's targeted an entire section of humanity that lives in this country, the so-called greatest country in the world, for a genocidal program. It's one stark part of the reality that underlies our analysis that this system cannot in any way liberate black and brown people from the legacies of slavery and colonial conquest. Look, if all of this was the necessary, if unfortunate, product of the only way that human beings with their intrinsic self-interest could be organized, trapped in a capitalist imperial system that is rooted in the competitive pursuit of profit for the very lifeblood of humanity and the ripping off and exploitation of the planet, then what we're going to talk about tonight would really not matter that much. Or it would amount to, these are our ideas and somebody who we really like and it's our set of beliefs. It's how we get through the night. But if we understand that humanity has done far better than this in the first experiences of socialism, and that these experiences with revolution, with a different society, where people were the priority, where serving the people was the ethos, that through 30 years these experiences have been summed up by Babavakian, mining their positive lessons as well as their shortcomings, looking at all of this in relationship to a breadth of human experience, and that this work, this new synthesis of communism, makes possible a whole different, far better future, then tonight's discussion and plan has enormous import, and it really must be fought for. To put it bluntly, if humanity is going to fight its way out of this nightmare, it's going to be because of the work and the leadership of BA. It's that simple. That's the simple of what we're talking about tonight. And that's how we have to take this campaign out, in all the different facets of it. If you hate the horror of this world, you need to find out about BA, and you need to spread the knowledge of this everywhere. Because there is another way the world could be, and it's concentrated in this new synthesis of communism, this leadership that he's brought forward and represents, and the strategy for revolution. This year, I'm just going to read the opening of this supplement, which again we're going to have as a brochure. Begins by saying, this year, as horror upon horror pile up all over the world, as the web of life itself comes under increasing and unceasing stress, a different voice posing a real alternative, a real revolution, can and must ring out. With new films and interviews and other new work, with bus tours of veteran revolutionaries and brand new fighters continuing to take this all over the country, from the alienated campuses to the lockdown prisons to the communities of the oppressed, the words and work of the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, can and must hit with an impact like never before, end quote. Stop and think about this. At this moment, where there really are very sharp divisions in the ruling class over many things, but including how to address the deep inherent problems of this economy, how to deal with the problems of a world that's in increasing turmoil, to deal with the fact that one half of humanity is so outrageously oppressed, and their eyes are now on people who are beginning to rise up in India against all of this. With life really being lived on the edge in the ghettos of America, and all this coming in the wake of an election that saw fascistic lunacy battling the cynical, vicious brutality of the status quo with Obama, and yet at the same time people's sights are set so low. They don't know that there's another way. But in this situation, up steps the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, and he's bringing forward powerful new work which can galvanize a movement for revolution right here in the U.S. Last spring, we issued a talk, and we have it here if you've not yet seen it. It's actually an interview with a young revolutionary comrade called What Humanity Needs, Revolution and the New Synthesis of Communism. Then this fall, Cornel West did a very good thing. He put Bob Avakian on his radio show, and he projected BA's voice out in a substantive and highly accessible half-hour radio interview. And it's really one of the best introductions that for people to experience and get a taste of what this is all about. And now, in just a few days, is coming a five-part interview on KPFK on Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, an interview with BA that's going to span 5 weeks. So it's going to be hours long. And this is available on the internet, and people can access it all over the country and all over the world. And this is a show with an audience hundreds of thousands of people, I understand. This is a tremendous opportunity to get BA everywhere and to get BA out really broadly. This is an opportunity in a five-hour interview or four-hour interview, whatever it actually is, for him to go really deep and to reach out. There's a question posed. Are we going to reach out and fight for the interview to be a big deal? Are we going to reach out to all those who need this but don't yet know that they need it? Are we going to set some terms far and wide that lets people know that if you are not down with all the shit that is going on in the world today, if all that people are going through upsets you, if you think it's wrong, if you wish people could be better or they would be better, if you voted for Obama, in spite of your sensing deep down that this was not actually going to be a way out of the madness and horror, you need to hear this interview, and if you know people who think like that, you need to struggle with them to listen to this interview and to spread it everywhere. On the other hand, if you're satisfied with the world and putting your snout in a trough, or you're finding your peace by getting in on your little piece of the plunder, then this whole talk isn't for you. What I'm saying and what he's saying. But there are a lot of people out there right now who are not happy, and they don't know how unhappy they actually are because they don't see another way. And we have that other way that is going to be available to them in a way that it has not been for a very long time. I mean, just really think we have to grab hold of this. There are people who are ready for this challenge, and there are people we have to get ready to hear and appreciate it. So that's a contradiction. There are people who are ready to hear this on the one hand, but they're not really ready in the sense that they haven't even begun to think of it. So the kind of work we're planning tonight is going to be part of preparing them so that they really want to hear this, and they want others to hear it. And they say, hey, you know that guy who comes around here all the time, or that woman who I always talk to at the laundromat or at college? She's saying he's going to be on the radio, and we could go listen. We should do that. Are we getting ready for this? That's what we're going to do tonight. Are we finding the ways to make sure here in New York City people are going to be getting up on that web and coming to hear this interview with BA on KPFK, discuss it and debate it? And are we going to raise big money, including this weekend, starting this weekend, so that we can do some, let hundreds or thousands and hundreds of thousands know about this, from Google ads to mass literature going far and wide, while we concentrate in New York for a certain saturation of a presence of the revolutionary movement in Harlem on the following weekend, which is going to be very important. But that's not all we're doing. In other words, we really should put our heads together tonight and figure out how everybody who's concerned about some of the problems that I began with know about this interview and are listening and are anxious to listen, and the word spreads throughout these next several weeks that this interview is airing. But then on the heels of this interview comes a film of a tour de force talk by Bob Avakian, a talk that he gave right after the election. It's 6.5 hours of heart and science, of an implacable hatred for the unnecessary misery of the world today that's combined with a deep scientific understanding that the very horrific contradictions that so oppress humanity today also contain the potential for revolutionary crisis and revolutionary transformation with, and only with, revolutionary leadership. The film of this gripping talk reveals that there is a leadership in Bob Avakian and the party he leads. The film will premiere as a major event. 6.5 hours of passion and science, of refusal to accept what is unacceptable and unnecessary. It's infused with the vision and a plan for a far better revolutionary state power that leads to a communist world without class oppression and antagonism. It's a film that's filled with daring and strategy for making revolution. And while tonight we're not going to take up as yet all the concrete plans for the premiere and the wide distribution of this film, it must be in our sights as we step off tonight, looking into BA everywhere. And if you're interested in working in particular on the promotion and distribution of this film when it does come out, and the newspaper says it's currently scheduled for the end of February, then you should actually sign up for that tonight, because the work on that in its own right is going to begin in the next few weeks. Certainly by the beginning of February, but actually some of it will start very soon. I'm just trying to give you a picture here. These are some really big things that we've not had before. This is new shit, okay? And it's really important. The Centerfold puts it this way. It says this film is, quote, BA speaking to the greatest and most urgent needs of our times in a timely way, with fire, passion, urgency, humor, and science. It is a journey that anyone and everyone who is looking for answers needs to take. Imagine the national debut happening simultaneously in key theatrical venues throughout the country. This would be a societal happening. And funds need to be raised from all kinds of people to make this possible. A national fundraising weekend in January, which is not this weekend, but the following weekend, which is the 19th, 20th, and the 21st, which is MLK Day. And BA has something to say about MLK in this Cornel West interview, so people should be tuning into that right now. This National Fundraising Weekend should have yard sales, car washes, food sales, arts and crafts sales, penny drives, as well as people of more means giving large sums. And it says, imagine the Unity Forge with blocks of tickets for people in the projects being purchased by people in the middle strata. and the engagement fostered with this cross-section of people experiencing and discussing the talk together. These new works are the centerpieces kicking off a wide range of BA Everywhere plans for 2013. And these plans will include continuing the BA, or the Basics bus tour, in new ways, really stepping up the distribution of Basics and BA behind the prison walls. And I just want to say this is very important. This is a place where people are in the worst, most downpressed conditions, and they are both standing up now in important ways, forging unity between prisoners of different nationalities up against everything that's thrown at them to divide them even from another human being, let alone from other nationalities. At the same time, there are plans going on for even more major protests from within the prisons against this, these SEG units and this solitary confinement that's going on in other prison conditions. People remember there was a hunger strike a few years ago. But also at the same time, we have to really recognize that that among these prisons, there is a section of them who are getting BA. They're not just getting into BA, they're getting BA. They're appreciating what he's forging. They're hearing that revolution is possible. They're hearing that there's another way society could be. They're grappling with the scientific approach to reality and comparing and contrasting that with all the metaphysical bullshit that people are blinded with that's rampant in the prisons and forced down their throats. This section of people can play a major role in influencing broader sections of society to engage BA and to take up this campaign. So this, too, is a part of BA Everywhere. To really fight for BA to be everywhere involves struggle, ideological struggle, with your family, with your friends, with people you don't know out on the street, and it needs to be societal as well. And this April 15th, there's going to be a major debate between Raymond Lotta and Slavoj Žižek. Oh, for those who don't know who Raymond Lotta is a Rights for Revolution newspaper, and he's a person who's done a lot of work on the basis of the BA's new synthesis of communism, developing understanding of political economy in particular. And he's going to be debating Slavoj Žižek, and for those who don't know who he is, he's a sort of world-renowned philosopher and theorist, and they're going to be debating the history and prospects for the communist revolution, with Raymond Lotta advocating for the new synthesis of communism, and Slavoj Žižek for what he believes, which is that communism was a failure, but there's still something in the idea that we should dress ourselves in. Integral to forging a movement for revolution and a whole other way that humanity could be will involve unleashing a whole new culture. And this spring, there will be a film released on the second or around the second anniversary of the concert of around. Sometime this spring, there's going to be a film of the April 11th, 2010 concert that was given on the occasion of the publication of Basics. But the point here is there's the film, but that unleashes and inspires a whole movement of poetry readings, concerts, all kinds of things. What all of BA Everywhere is about is that the people of the world desperately need a revolution. So somebody, Phil's going to come up and join me here to work on plans. And I said, well, I wrote a talk, it might be a little bit long, but you could boil it down to two words. We're making revolution. That's why we're taking up BA Everywhere. Okay, but look, what this is all about is that the people desperately need fundamental change through revolution. People need to get into BA, because when they do, they see and feel more deeply that all these outrages and abuses actually come from the same source, this system, and they come to understand why it doesn't have to be this way, that there's actually a material basis for a different way the world could be organized, that there's a material basis for it. This is not just a good idea that's sitting over here. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody could get along? There's a material basis in the world today, and there's a class basis for a revolution that gets rid of this system and replaces it with a far better one. When you get into Basics, the book Basics, which is a handbook for revolution, or you get into one of these new talks, and even just that short 30-minute interview with Cornel West, you get a sense, you get the tools to see why it is completely wrong and unrealistic to think that this system could actually be reformed. You go through this thing and you go like, my God, you can't really do it that way. You can't. The most you can do is ease some oppression for some people. You really can't deal with it. It's that deep. It's that intrinsic. When we take BA Everywhere and make BA a household word and we raise the money to do that, we're taking to people a big part of how and why an actual revolution would be possible and how there is the necessary leadership and developed science, its concrete strategy and organization to apply that science. We're laying a foundation to struggle with people about their role and how their role and people like them, their friends and their family, can actually become a part of becoming the initiators of this new stage of revolution, who can be part of the hundreds now and soon thousands who can lead millions when a revolutionary situation develops. They can be part of making revolution a contending pole in society that is not only involved with, I mean, the process is bigger than just BA Everywhere and popularizing BA, but it is actually a leading edge of it all, and it relates to and is completely bound up with the strategy for revolution, which could be, or a good deal of it could be, is compressed into an amazing slogan and synthesis of fighting the power and transforming the people for revolution. In other words, we actually need to engage the system, fighting against what's happening to people, pushing back on the other side, enabling people to raise their heads. But the dynamic factor in all that is people transforming their thinking. And this comes through reading Revolution newspaper every week, through comparing and contrasting different programs, and through being exposed to BA. And that's how this stuff all meshes. These are not separate things. I want to be part of the movement. I'm part of BA Everywhere. Well, no, I'm working on fighting mass incarceration. I work in the bookstore. We're all making revolution here. And BA Everywhere is the leading edge of a campaign to take out this revolutionary leader, which does open up the possibility for how we could make a revolution in this country with impact around the world. When we take this out, we're also giving people a way in. And giving them a way in means putting the challenge to them to be a part of this, including being a part of spreading BA. And people can, if we get out there with the revolutionary way around this thing, people will find what they agree with, what they don't agree with, where they stand in relationship to it. But if they don't like the way this shit's going down, they can still be a part of, and we've already tested this scientifically in practice. People will take this up. And they'll help spread the word, because people do aspire to something higher than is possible and is on the agenda right now. And that's what this concentrates. So we really need to make a big deal out of this year. And the more that we fight for it to do so, the more we're going to draw people forward. And the more it will also become clear how fucking indefensible it is to sit on your ass and not do anything about it and just try and get in on the spoils of all of this. BA Everywhere is a campaign that's part of the first mainstay of revolutionary work in this country. And in just wrapping up this orientation talk, I want to speak just a little bit about why this is the first mainstay. And what I'm going to do is just draw from the interview that I cited at the beginning. What humanity needs is revolution and a new synthesis of communism. Where BA, in this interview, responding to a question from a young revolutionary, A. Brooks, talks about that the first mainstay of the party's work is forging a culture of appreciation, popularization, and I'm going to add, including, very importantly, the protection of BA, and how this is a key part of our strategy for revolution. He says that this has everything to do with projecting a radically different vision, a radically different political and ideological pull and authority. with raising what have been extremely lowered sights of people. Now, if we were about something other than revolution and communism, if we were just working to bring about some minor adjustments within the established order, as horrendous as it is, then there would not be much significance to the new synthesis, to what it is that B.A. has brought forward and represents, to his whole body of work and method and approach. There's not much significance to that divorced from what we really do need to be about, the recognition and acting on the recognition of both the necessity and the possibility of revolution leading to a radically different society and ultimately to a radically different communist world. If that is in fact what we are all about, then not only should it be not hard to go about building this culture of appreciation, promotion, and popularization, we should be fired with enthusiasm and an inspiration for doing this and finding the creative ways to do it. To put it in very fundamental terms, people to know about the objective reality they face in order to transform it in their interests. And a decisive part of objective reality is that people need leadership, a certain kind of leadership, in order to transform society and the world through revolution. He goes on to say a bit later, this matters to, it is of profound importance for the masses of people, even if most of them don't know it right now. Look, let's face it, to invoke once more that line from Bob Dylan, let us not talk falsely now. Masses of people throughout the world don't know a lot of things that are very important for them to know. That doesn't mean they can't learn them. That's where the role of conscious vanguard forces comes in. And that's why we go back to for whom and for what. What is the objective and whose fundamental interests are involved in the work we are doing and the struggle we are waging? What is this all about and what are we basing ourselves on? It's not our secret temple of knowledge. It is a scientific understanding of reality which others brought into being in the first place, which has been developed by others before us, and we're taking it, applying it, and developing it further. We should be very actively and energetically fighting for it everywhere we go and in every arena into which we enter in a living and compelling way that expresses the dialectic of being completely outrageous and eminently reasonable.